The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Ephesians is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and in some ways, Paul's sermon, if you will, here, I just want to say amen, and that's it. Sermon's done for the day. If you read it really well, if you read it from the beginning to end, there's nothing else that we can say. Drop the mic and get off. That's it. But I'm going to say something anyway. Yesterday, after a long walk in the beautiful sunshine, we got home. I was sore. I decided I was going to turn on the TV and watch some football. Some of you may have watched football yesterday. Some of you may have not been allowed to watch football yesterday. It's fine. Whatever. But the Giants and the Swans were on. I'm not a fan of either, but I was watching TV. That we have a Swans fan here. Yep, just one. And about halftime, the game was relatively close. And I know in my perusal of enjoying this game of since moving to Australia and enjoying the AFL, in between the quarters, halftime, I always noticed that they get together in this huddle to talk about the game plan. And one of the beauties is that they gather together with the huddle, and there's always that guy that holds up the whiteboard that we never can quite see what's on it. That's the game. So it's changing. So here's the game plan. In some ways, the game plan is we're going to win, right? But the game plan was changing. So what I noticed from the Giants-Swans game yesterday was it seemed like the Giants knew what they were doing. They got into the second half, and the game turned and went completely in their favor, if you were watching. About halfway through the fourth quarter, I noticed a change in the demeanor of the Giants players. It almost seemed like they already knew that they were going to win, and they just started to enjoy the game. They're up by about 50 points with about 8 minutes left. They just started to enjoy, and even though the opponents, the other team was still punishing them and pushing their faces into the ground and doing all sorts of things that AFL players do, it almost felt like when they got up off the ground, they had a smile on their face and they pointed to the scoreboard. I think that's the way that it's been throughout the generations. The game plan that God has had up until halftime, God's interaction with his people in the Old Testament, it just seemed like things were staying relatively close, that the opponent always seemed to get a leg up when it came to the law, that people just couldn't follow the law or get close to God. And then at halftime, God holds up the new board. And he says, you know what? New game plan. I'll take over. Just like he always had, I got this. As the course of human history happened, Jesus Christ sacrificed for our sins so that we might be with him forever. And God said, I got this. And no matter how many times we're messed or pushed into the ground or we fall or we have difficulties in life, it seems like we can just put our head up and smile now and point to the scoreboard that says God 1,000, Satan 0. He's got it. It's over. The game's over. You can just enjoy the ride, even in the midst of difficulties. That's what Ephesians is about. That's what we get from the very first verses that we're talking about today for this reason. A couple weeks ago, we talked about who Paul was as God's chosen instrument, and he was supposed to share the message of God's good news to whom? Who were those two groups of people? That's right, the Jews and the Gentiles, correct? And the Jews believed that if we could just somehow follow the law close enough and maybe offer some sacrifices, we could then still be in God's good graces and earn our way to heaven. And the Gentiles believed if we could just reason our way, if we just know enough, we can figure out who God is and reason our way into heaven. And Paul was given this opportunity as God's chosen instrument to be the one to say, okay, let's tear down the walls of both of those. Let's bring the church together, the body of Christ, the people. And let's reveal this new game plan, this mystery. And that was Paul's thing. To bring unity and peace to a group of people in the midst of this very pagan society. For he himself is our peace. And I encourage you, if you want to bring your Bibles to worship. So you can follow with me. So that you know I'm not making this up. Ephesians 2, for he himself is our peace. This he is Jesus Christ, who has made the two groups one. So he brought the Jews and the Gentiles together by tearing down all the walls. He destroyed the barrier, this law and this reason, by setting aside his flesh, the law with its commands and regulations. There's no more barrier. Because the Jews encountered God through the law, and God said, enough, you can't earn your way to heaven by following the law. And the Jews and the Gentiles could find a common bond in Jesus Christ. Same with the Gentiles. Notice this to the Corinthians. Where's the wise person? Raise your hand if you're a wise person. This one. Where's the teacher of the law? There's might be a few of them. Where's the philosopher of this age? Well, we got a lot of those. But has not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? The wisdom of this world is all foolishness because of one lonely object on top of a hill. What was it? The cross of Jesus Christ. In place of the law, there's grace. In place of wisdom, there is the cross. In place of the barrier, there is peace. For this reason, Paul was brought to the Jews and the Gentiles to break down the barrier and to proclaim this unity and peace together so that we can enjoy this game that's being played, no matter if we're suffering or not, and to recognize that the end game is already won. So this is the amazing part, that God chooses sinners like you and me, the church, together, that the manifold wisdom of God, this amazing wisdom of God that is so far beyond us, the cross, that it should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. Imagine on that moment when God decided that he was going to reveal the game plan to the angels and the archangels, and he holds up the whiteboard and it says, the cross, I'm going down there. I'm going to do it myself. This is just me, but I can imagine Michael or Gabriel saying, you can't do that. I love it when people say you can't do that to God. Because you're wrong. God can do anything, and God chose to come to humanity in their most dire need, in their most desperate need, and he said, I got this. And at the end of the cross, what are those words? It's finished. It's already done. That's why I love this little piece right here. This God accomplished in Christ. It's in the past tense. According to his eternal purpose, this mystery. God accomplished, it's finished in Christ Jesus. And in him and through faith in him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. There's no more barrier between us and God. Did you hear what I said? There's no more barriers. There's no walls. Through Jesus Christ, you can approach the King of the universe, the creator of the universe. He says it again in Romans to another very pagan culture. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. We have access to the power of God. He repeats it in both chapter 3 and chapter 2, this power that we have, not weakness, but the power of God in Jesus Christ. And into those secular cultures, into Ephesus and Rome and Corinth. The gospel of peace flattened that worldview like a nuclear blast. And so it can happen today. The gospel of peace can flatten that worldview. So God just says, it's finished. It's over. For it's by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this isn't from yourselves. It's a gift from God. Now the hardest part with humans is that they love to be in control. Maybe I'm the only one. Hey, is there any... Can I borrow you guys for a second? Can you help me with something? I've got some objects up here that I want you to... Yeah, come on up front if you're a young person or older person that wants to come up front. Can you guys come up here for a second? We can shake out our legs, pull up a chair. There's no chairs here. Whoever wants to, you can stay there too. I know you're busy. Cool. Okay, have a seat here for a second and face this direction, though, because I'm going to use some of these objects. Okay. So people like to be in control. Do your parents like to have control of your lives? You think? Maybe that never actually stops. Who knows? But people like to have control, especially when it comes over their own lives, and even when it comes to thinking about how, if you can use these words, to get into heaven. So humans have thought over the years that if I can just do one of three things, or maybe all of them, that I can somehow earn God's love and make it on my own. So the first one that we have is, can I just put these beside you? Is this, what is this thing right here? A ladder. Okay. Some people climb on them. Some people fall off them too. It is called a ladder. You know what? In the Old Testament, there were these people that thought if they built this city as high as they could. Your house is taller than that, I'm sure. But they were going to get it as high as they could so they could get as close to God as they could, so that in some ways that they could be like God. Sometimes, hold on a second, let me finish. So sometimes, go ahead, I let it out. People do fall down, and that's what happens sometimes. But people sometimes think, well, if I can just do enough good things or follow the law, I'm just kidding, I'm not going to climb it, that they can climb as far and as high as they can to get close to God, right? They don't even put this thing out, which might make it stable. Do you think if I got a ladder that was 3,000 meters tall and climbed to the top, do you think I'd find God there? Why not? It's still too short, isn't it? Because where is God?
In heaven.
Well, yeah, in the heavens, but also God came down in Jesus Christ. And in some ways, as we try and climb higher, God's down here going, what are you doing? What are you doing up there? I'm right here in your midst. Because God came to us. God came to us that he might save us. So that's the ladder. I'm going to put it down before I fall down, okay? Well, then there's the next way that people try, I'll put it like this, that people try and think, well, if I could just figure it all out, if I could maybe read enough books like this new Bible commentary. Have you all read this book yet? You haven't read this book? It's not a Bible, it's about the Bible. And if you read this book all the way through and you even memorize it, maybe all the books in Pastor Rowley's office, do you think that you probably can figure God out? No. Because it's not about these books. Sometimes we think, I'll just figure out God. What? Yeah, books are amazing too. But I can't figure God out because... I'm glad you have an Elsa book. That's fine. Okay, so here's the thing. Sometimes we think that we can figure God out, but we can't figure God out because God in Jesus Christ in the cross is so far above us on the cross that we can't figure it out. So God's standing outside our brains going, what are you doing? What are you doing? My cross is here for you. And the last way is sometimes we think maybe if we turn out all the lights and light a candle, and we can just go deep inside ourselves and perhaps dig as far as we can, and perhaps then we'll find God. Is that right?
Yeah.
What do you get when you dig so far inside your heart? Who's there?
God.
Well, maybe. You are. We ourselves are kind of wedged way deep inside, and God's standing outside saying, what are you doing? I'm out here living this world with you. Now, I just want to tell you that there's nothing wrong. In fact, it's great to do good things. God calls us to do them. And there's nothing wrong with doing things that help us to see God in a spiritual way, spiritual practices. And there's nothing wrong with learning about God in the Bible or even commentaries. But the beautiful thing is, God is with us at all times. And he's already finished the game. God wins all the time. Can we pray? Let's pray together. If you'll repeat after me. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ, who won the game. Help us to live in freedom that we can share the gospel with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, and this is how we're going to do. Amen. Come put your hand on top of mine like they do when they're going to start the game. Okay, and then we're going to go, amen. Okay, you ready? One, one, two, three. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats. Good job. All right, last things. Law and spirituality and reason all have a place in life. But the minute they become substitute for God's power, the minute they become a ladder or a substitute, a book that tells us about God rather than just realizing God's power in the cross, they all become worthless idols. Although I am less than least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles. Here's Paul's reasoning. It's the reasoning that the boundless riches of Christ, the boundless riches of his mercy and his grace are given to us free of charge. He's been given this to make plain the administration of this mystery. Now, this word administration is so cool, because it not only means giving away of stuff, but it also means in that Old New Testament time, it's almost like taking the skin off of something and looking at the innards. Gross, right? But to see the very inside of something, to administer it, it was revealed to Paul, the very innards of God's game plan, so that he could share that mystery with others. The administration comes through the church, through the people of God, like you and me. We get to share this through the sacraments, administering God's grace, administration of God's mercy through the blood of Jesus, and lastly, of God's peace and the unity of faith in Jesus Christ. And this week, as we move forward from this place, I pray that you recognize that God's game plan in your life has allowed you to be free, to live life with joy, a true contentedness, and that even in the midst of being in that game and having your face pushed into the ground time and time again, you can reach up and smile and point to the scoreboard. God wins. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the administration of your grace in the midst of us, to open and reveal it to us. For the Apostle Paul, who shared with Jews and Gentiles, and the barrier was torn down so that we, the church, together might be sharing God's grace in this world. Thank you, God, for winning the game. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.